you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from John chapter 13, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you practice them. That's John chapter 13, verse 17. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, September 9th, 2025. We're going to continue basically where we left off last Wednesday in this new series by Pastor Rick Warren titled 40 Days of Prayer. And last Wednesday, today, and tomorrow, we'll look at Do You Really Want to Grow Up? We'll pick up where we left off last Wednesday. We'll be looking at 6 laws of spiritual growth. Last Wednesday, we looked at we grow when we feed on the Word of God, and we grow when we learn in different ways. Today we'll pick up, we grow when we develop spiritual habits, and we grow when we help each other to grow. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Here's the third law of spiritual growth. We grow when we develop spiritual habits. We grow when we develop spiritual habits. I cannot overestimate with you the importance of you building good habits in your life. If you build good habits in your life, you're going to have good character. If you have good character, you're going to have a great destiny. Your habits determine what you are, and what you are determines where you go in life. Your character is the sum total of your habits. Now, you can't say, for instance, I'm a kind person. I have the character quality of kindness, unless you're always kind. Unless it's habitual to you. It's your habit to be kind. If you're only kind 25% of the time, you're not a kind person. If you say, well, I have integrity. I'm honest. If you're only honest 25% of the time, you don't have integrity. Integrity means you are habitually honest. You are habitually doing the right thing. If I were to say to my wife, honey, I'll be faithful to you 28 days of the month. Partial faithfulness is unfaithfulness. Partial obedience is disobedience. I can't say I'm a faithful husband if I'm faithful most of the time. No. It has to become a habit in your life. Now, there are lots of habits you need to grow in your spiritual life. There are dozens of them. We talk about some of the basic ones in class 201. If you haven't taken that class, you should take it. But in this next 40 days, we're going to focus on 4 specific habits. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, I want you to notice some scripture. How do you develop habits? Well, you develop them by repetition and by practice. John chapter 13, verse 17, Jesus says this. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? Circle that. Practice them. If you do them, you practice them. You don't get God's blessing for knowing the right thing to do. You get God's blessing for doing the right thing, for practicing the right thing, and for making it a habit in your life. And the way you build any habit in your life is 2 ways, through repetition and through practice. You often wonder, why is our spiritual growth campaign 40 days or 50 days? Sometimes we do 40 days of prayer, 40 days of purpose, 40 days of community, 40 days of peace, 40 days of love. We've done 50 days of faith. We've done 50 days of transformation. And we usually do 40 or 50 days. Why? I'll tell you why. Study after study shows it takes 6 weeks for you to develop a new habit. 6 weeks. You have to do something every day. This is whether it's exercise, diet, or a spiritual habit or anything else. You got to do it every day for 6 weeks before it actually becomes a habit in your life. It takes about 3 weeks to become comfortable with something. It takes another 3 weeks for it actually to get ingrained in your life. Now, for instance, you know, I don't have to tell you this, you know that to read the Bible a little bit every day and pray is a good idea, that it would actually make you stronger spiritually. But you don't have a daily time with God, and the reason why is you've never gone 6 weeks without missing. It's not a habit in your life. Here's what most of you do. You read the Bible and you pray for a day or two, and then you miss a day. And then you read your Bible for a day, and you miss 2 days. Then you read your Bible for 3 days in a row in prayer, and then you miss a week. And then maybe you miss a month. Well, you're not developing the habit, because you got to do it every day for 6 weeks. Doing it that way, it's like rolling up a ball of string and dropping it. Rolling up a ball of string and dropping it. Rolling up a ball of string and dropping it. You keep undoing everything you're doing every time you miss it. So what we want to do is try to develop some habits in your life that you'll use the rest of your life that will help you grow and be strong. We want to develop in the next 40 days. And if you'll do it every day for 40 days, it'll become part of your lifestyle. Some of you had habits in the past. You dropped them off. This is a time to go back to what God wants to do. He says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you practice them. What happens when you practice good habits, spiritual habits? You grow. Look at the next verse. Hebrews 5, chapter 5, verse 14. Solid food is for mature people. Now, you know what I'm talking about here. Babies eat Gerber Pablum. They eat baby food. When you're mature, you get to eat a steak. A baby can't eat a steak. It's not mature enough to eat a steak. He says, solid food is for mature people whose minds, notice this, have been trained by practice. That's called habit. Whose minds have been trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. One of the reasons you have a lot of problems in your life is you often make bad decisions because you don't know which thing to do. Do I do this or this? Is this right or is that right? Is this wrong or is that wrong? Is this good or is that evil? And you don't know. How do you make wise decisions? You become spiritually mature. Then you know the difference. Don't do that. You know, treasury agents in America. When the United States government wants to teach treasury agents how to identify counterfeit bills, they don't give them counterfeits to study. In fact, they never will ever show an agent a counterfeit bill. They give them the real deal, a real $100 bill, real $50 bill, and they say, study this, look at it, memorize it, meditate on it, think about it, immerse your life in it, know it backwards and forwards, memorize what it looks like. And when you know the real deal, when they see a counterfeit, oh, that's counterfeit. See, I don't know. I can tell in a second it's counterfeit. Why? Because I know the real deal. Well, what about that? Well, that's counterfeit too. How do you know? Because I know the real deal. The problem why a lot of Christians get bylined and sidelined is because they don't know the real deal. So they go, well, maybe that's okay. We'll just go do that. Maybe that's okay to believe that. That's okay. Because they don't know the real deal. And so people sell them counterfeit ideas, and counterfeit thoughts all the time, and they don't know the difference. Why? They're not mature. How do you get mature? Habits. Solid food for the mature whose minds have been trained by practice. You do it over and over, repetition and practice. Nobody gets to the Olympics on, I just hope to get there someday. You have to set up habits and be disciplined and doing it. You know, friends, over my life, I've met a lot of very successful people, and I've met a lot of very unsuccessful people. And I'll tell you this, the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is simply this. Successful people put the time and energy into developing habits and disciplines that unsuccessful people are unwilling to develop. These people are not willing to pay the price. Successful people are just normal people who decide to develop good habits that take them for the rest of their life. You determine your habits, and your habits determine you. And these people over here, I don't know if I'm going to do that. And the same is true in your spiritual life. You know, yesterday I read about Tom Brady, most successful NFL quarterback in history. He's also the oldest player right now. He's the oldest player in the NFL, and he's the best. How in the world does Tom Brady stay the best in the entire NFL? He has team members on his team that weren't born when he started playing football. How did he get to be so good? And it had a list of all of Tom Brady's habits that he does every single day with extreme discipline that other people are not willing to do. Everything, the first thing he gets up in the morning, he drinks 20 ounces of water right off the bat. And there's a whole list of all the things he does to stay in peak mental, physical, you know, emotional shape. He's willing to pay the price. He's developed the habits, and they have paid off for him, and other people aren't willing to develop those habits. So he's still around being the best, even though he's the oldest at all that's going on. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. All athletes train hard and practice to get better. Now, they do it to win a prize that won't last, but we practice to win a prize that will last forever in eternity. The habits you build in your spiritual life are going to have payoff forever and ever and ever and ever in eternity. Now, there are a lot of habits we could teach you, but during 40 days of prayer, we're going to focus on these four that are there on your outline. First, the habit of weekly large group worship. That's what we're doing right now. Then the habit of small group fellowship. Then the habit of a daily time alone with God, where you pray a little bit and you talk to God and you read the Bible, let him talk to you. Now notice, it's large group, small group, and personal. That's three different kinds of habits. And then the habit of memorizing God's word. These four will change your life more than almost any other thing in your life. Now, these first two, large group worship and small group fellowship, where did we get that idea? From the Bible. It's the way all the churches in the Bible were organized. Let me show you. Look up here on the screen. This is the first church. It was in Jerusalem, and these are the first Christians. And here's how they organized themselves. Every day, the believers had the habit, notice there's that word, and it's a lot of meeting together, not just in Sundays, but they met, different groups met during the week. Every day the believers had the habit of meeting together in the temple courts, that's what we're doing here, large group worship, and also in their homes, that's small group fellowship. There are things we can do here we can't do in a small group, but there's things we can do in a small group we can't do here. We can't pray for your needs. You can't say, I've had a tough week. You can't say, I need help for this. You can't ask a question. There are a lot of things you can do in a small group you cannot do in a large group. So you need them both. They ate together, and they celebrated with happy and thankful hearts. So they're partying. They're having a good party. They praised God, and the whole community, this isn't talking about the church, it's talking about the community around the church, the whole community liked what they saw in these people. And as a result, the Lord added to their groups daily as their neighbors were being saved. If there was any one verse in the Bible I would want to be true about Saddleback Church, it's that verse. I would like people go, look at those people over there. They seem to be a little less stressed than we are. They seem to have a little bit more purpose in their life. They've got the exact same problems that all of us do, but they seem to handle them a little bit better. They got some maturity in them. They're not blown around. They're not emotionally and manipulated by moods. They're not driven by their feelings. They seem to be more stable, less stressed, even though they got the same problems we do. And they go, I want to go check that out. And the church grows, and your neighbors come to know the Lord, and they accept Christ because they see the difference in your life. That's my prayer for our church, too, that we would do that. So to be a strong believer, you need both weekend worship and during the week small group. You need both. Both are important for spiritual muscle. Then the other two habits are a daily time alone with God, where you read the Bible a little bit and you pray, and the habit of memorizing God's word. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you say yes to this. How many of you at the end of your life would like people to be able to say about you, she lived or he lived a successful life? Yeah. Okay, hopefully that's all of us. Because I don't want you to be a failure. I certainly want you to be a success. As your coach, as your pastor, spiritual coach, I want you to succeed. It's my job to help you succeed in every area of your life. In your finances, in your relationships, your marriage, your career, your health, to be successful in every area, all right? In the Bible, there's only one place in the Bible where God promises and guarantees success. Would you be interested in that verse? Yeah? Okay, let me put it on the screen. It's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And here's what God says is the key to prosperity and success in life. Always remember what is written in this book. He's talking about the Bible. So you need to remember it. Read it and think about it. Now, that's the hand. We got to remember it, we got to read it, and we got to reflect on it. Hear it, study it, memorize it, read it. He says, if you remember what's written, you memorize some verses in the Bible, and you read it, and you reflect on it, you think about it every day, and then you be sure to obey it. That's the apply. Be sure to obey everything that's written in. If you do this, you will be prosperous and successful in your life. Okay, you think God's lying? Think God's just teasing you? You think God's just making this up? No. God says, you want to be prosperous? You want to be successful? Well, you're not doing what will be the key to it. This is the owner's manual for life. And if you do this, you'll make a whole lot fewer mistakes if you read it and study it and memorize it and you get in it. He says, I will promise you, you will succeed in your life. You want to succeed in your business? You need to read it, reflect on it, remember it. You need to do all these habits that we're just talking about. All right, the last three. We'll go through these real quick. Number four, the fourth law of spiritual growth is that we grow when we help each other grow. We grow when we help each other grow. You cannot grow to spiritual maturity by yourself. It ain't going to happen. No way, Jose. Not a zip. Nothing, zero. It is not going to happen. You cannot grow to be the person God wants you to be by yourself. You need me, and I need you, and we need each other. God wired us in such a way that nobody grows to maturity by themselves. You grow by yourself, you're going to be a lonely, stunted spiritually person that will be wimpy and weak and not mature. The more you involve other people who are strong in the Lord in your life, we grow together. It's relational. Spiritual growth is relational. We're better together. Romans chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith will help me. And my faith will help you. You have to have other people in your life. God wired us this way. How many times I've talked to you about the verses called the 56 one another's in the Bible? 56 commands you cannot obey unless you're in a small group. Love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. You can't do it in a crowd like this. Serve one another, share with one another, build each other up, be there for each other. On and on. 56 times God says, the only way you grow is in community. The only way you grow is in relationships. The Bible says the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you, and the ear can't say to the eye, I can't need you, and the body of Christ, one part can say, I don't need you. A hand severed from the body of Christ is worthless, can't do anything. An eye severed from the body of Christ can't see. An ear severed from the body of Christ can't hear. You have to be connected in order to grow. You have to be connected in the body of Christ in order to grow. Now, this is the exact opposite of every other faith. Every other faith says the holiest, most righteous, most pure person is the person who isolates themselves from dirty, rotten humanity, goes up and lives in a cave high up on the mountain as some kind of guru, and stays away from all the people who are evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty. And then they're really holy. Jesus says, no, 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 no. I made you to be with people. And Jesus is not hiding in some cave. He's out in the marketplace all the time. He's going to parties. He's going to weddings. He's a wedding crasher. Okay? You see, most of what you see Jesus doing, he's hanging out with people at parties. In fact, the religious people so hated the fact that Jesus hung out with people having a good time, they called and they said, he's a glutton and a wine bibber. He said he's a drunk and he's an overeater. He drinks too much and he eats too much. That's what they said about Jesus. He was a party animal. Why? Because why is being in a small group and being with other people important to your spiritual growth? Because the number one thing God wants you to learn in all of life, the most important thing God wants you to learn It's how to love. How to love God and how to love other people. And you can't learn to love other people. You can't learn love in a cave. The very reason you don't want to be in a small group is the very reason you need to be in a small group. So, you know, there might be some people who disagree with me, or there might be some people who are kind of irritable. Yeah, it's you. You're irritable. And you need people in your life who sometimes think differently than you, that challenge your self-centeredness, that teach you to be giving, to think of other people. The most selfish person on earth is a baby. Me. It's all about me, and everybody exists for the baby's needs. It is only when that baby grows up to maturity that it can actually think about other people. And some people never grow up. They're stuck, and it's all about me. My schedule, not your schedule. My needs, not your needs. My problems, not your problems. My priorities, not your priorities. It's all about me. So we need each other. We grow when we reach each other and we're together in groups. We only grow in community. Here's what the Bible says, Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 26. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good, basically, to one another. Let us not give up the habit, there's that word again, this is the habit of fellowship, the habit of meeting together. By the way, that verse is talking about small groups, because in the Bible days, there were no church buildings. There were no church buildings in Christianity for the first 300 years. 100% of church was in homes, in small groups. So he's saying, let's not give up the habit of meeting together in these homes, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. So here's the action step. Write it down. You want to grow? Join a small group. Join a small group. You want to grow? You say, well, I'm not willing to pay the price. Then you're willing to be immature.
Oh, listening friend, none of us want to be told we're immature. And from personal experience, I can say a small group has done tremendous things in my life, as it's allowed me to open up, to share, to bounce ideas off of others, to get great spiritual input. If you're not in a small group, find one or two other friends and start one. God will use it to bless and encourage you. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in a new series we started last Wednesday, 40 Days of Prayer. And last Wednesday, today, and tomorrow, looking at, do you really want to grow up? If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, or you missed last Wednesday or can't tune in tomorrow, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen to the programs under the Mark and Friends tab. Tomorrow we're going to look at we grow when we expect to grow, and we grow when we commit to grow with additional action steps. So I hope you can tune in and listen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.